Okay, 3, 2.
3, 2, hit it!
It's time to double down with Max and Stacy on Sputnik Radio. Now, coming up on the show, we talk to Ancela van der Leest, who last summer won the nomination by a landslide to head the Pirate Party of the Netherlands for the next 4 years. But first, as you know, fake news is in the news. But it's not exactly new, for it all started when Jon Stewart hosted a fake news program which became so popular that many young Americans soon began getting their news exclusively from Jon Stewart's fake news. Then Donald Trump was elected, and the people from the not-fake news said, basta, no more fake news. From now on, voters should tune in to the real news, and then Hillary Clinton would have indeed won in a landslide. So now we have a whole bunch of elections coming up in Europe, and it seems the people are once again listening to fake news from the wrong candidates. Oh my gosh, Stacy, what's happening?
Well, Max, we are talking to the guest, Ancela van der Leest, and the reason why I bring this up is because I saw a tweet, and it read, Dutch Pirate Party pays 11,250 euros deposit in Bitcoin to Electoral Council. And I thought, oh, the Pirate Party is running in the Netherlands for their upcoming elections in March. And I wonder if they're going to do as well as the Pirate Party in Iceland. Well, I was shocked to discover that, in fact, the person in the lead to become prime minister or to win the election is Geert Wilders. Yes, he that is considered fringe, extremist by the mainstream. And they had always said he was so fringe, so I assume there's no way this freaky character, who I actually thought was in prison, that he could possibly win. Well, there's a headline from far-right leaders meet to discuss free Europe vision. And it's Reuters, and they mention that in the Netherlands, Wilders is leading in all major polls before national parliamentary elections on March 15. I was shocked to learn this because the mainstream media had not told us about this. And everybody, of course, has been focused on Trump and the United States and what's happening here. But this has come out of the blue for me.
Yeah, I had no idea that Wilders was in the front runner for this. And he is a far-right candidate. You know, what's even more interesting, and I'm speaking quite broadly here, is that in America, with the rise of an autocratic Donald Trump, you know, there's never been a history of fascism in America. We've never had a fascist leader. But in Europe, they've had fascism. And it's particularly present in Germany and in the Netherlands, and they have a real history for it. So this is remarkable that the memory of the fascism in living memory of many is not really weighing against Wilders, even though he's openly espousing ideas that harken back to that era.
Well, I want to bring you actually to his platform because, again, you know, you and I were here in the United States when Donald Trump won the election. We saw the lead up to it. And by and large, 90% of the media coverage was about his crazy stuff, about his saying Mexicans are rapists or anything sort of racist. When in fact, it turns out that in his, you know, speeches to the public, he was actually talking about trade deals and economic matters. And I looked at Geert Wilders, or Wilders, however you pronounce it. I looked at his platform, and there's something like 20 points. Number one is anti-Muslim stuff and anti-immigration. So that's what the mainstream media focuses on. But the other 18 points are all economic. So he talks about deductible excess and healthcare insurance is eliminated, rents to be lowered, age of retirement returned back to 65 years, things like that, the economic issues. And I wonder if the mainstream media is just ignoring these stories as if it'll go away, the economic issues in this hyper-globalized world where a lot of people are being left behind. Some people in the sort of entertainment and media sort of intellectual space of like podcasters and TV presenters, you know, we have a, you know, it's great, all these open borders and hyper-globalization, but it seems like a lot of people are being left behind and angry.
You know what? I'm pretty confused. We need to bring in somebody actually who's over there to explain a little bit more of what's going on.
Yes, Max, let's turn to Ancela van der Leest. She's a privacy activist and the head of the Pirate Party in the Netherlands. Ancela, you're running in the upcoming Dutch elections, but according to all the polls and Reuters, It is far-right leader Geert Wilders who is on course to win. How did this happen? Did Putin make it happen? He usually gets the blame.
Well, actually, today it's in the news that the Secret Services here are saying that there are Russian hackers at work. They don't have any proof for it, but we'll just have to take their word for it. So, yeah, that storyline is already being ramped up. Other than that, I think the exact same thing is going on in the Netherlands now as what we've seen with the Brexit in the UK and with Trump in the United States, where people are so unhappy, so unsatisfied. They're afraid for their livelihood because of economic issues. They're afraid of immigration, which has a very clear root cause in the mess that's been the Middle East for the past 15 years and our role in that conflict. And it's just not being addressed right now. People are unhappy. They don't trust the elites anymore. They don't trust the mainstream media anymore. And then what do you get? Then you get, they're just pulling the emergency brake right now. They're just going for whatever the hell is not the establishment.
Ancela, what do you think about my comment there that within living memory, you have a past in Europe of autocratic and fascism, et cetera. Am I wrong to make that suggestion? Or is there something to that? Or are people just become amnesiac to the past? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I have lived in Germany for a little bit and in Belgium for a long time. And I must say that the Netherlands is a bit of a unique case for that matter, because here the schools raise children with the idea of we've always been the good guys. We were the victims of Germany and our government was never in the wrong. And for some reason, that message has really stuck with people that we were always the good guys. By the way, we've completely massacred people in Indonesia after the Second World War. But a lot of people don't even learn about that in school.
So let's return to this actual election happening in the Netherlands, because this also ties to Brexit, as you said, because one of the things that this far-right leader, who the polls are suggesting could possibly win, remarkably so, is that one of his platform points is that he would reverse austerity. Austerity has been this huge neoliberal sort of imposed troika, bureaucratic, techno-bureaucratic imposed policy. It used to just be from the IMF upon third world nations. Now it's hitting developing nations. We've seen it in Greece. Greece had the same result. We saw the rise of Golden Dawn. Now in the United States, we've had a similar austerity, mostly imposed through the neoliberal policies of our Obamacare. And what about this in the Netherlands? How is your media even covering, you know, the downsides of neoliberalism and the downsides of austerity?
No. Oh, no. God, no. Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, I've been watching the economic news for the past several weeks, and the only message that we're getting is people have more and more savings, the economics are going up, et cetera, et cetera. So all the news about economy right now that's in the media is positive messaging. It's going well, we're doing great, and nothing to worry about. As a matter of fact, a lot of people are not doing that great. Healthcare is a complete mess right now in the Netherlands, and that's just completely unheard of in this country. There are long waiting lists. It's very expensive. Even though you pay a monthly premium, you have to pay extra when you go to the doctor, et cetera, et cetera. So people are feeling it in their pocket. They're watching the news where the message is constantly being propagated that we're doing great, and they're just feeling that that's not the whole message.
You mentioned the media there. The media in the UK has mostly painted Wilders as an entirely fringe character. How has he got to the place where he is actually become the front runner, kind of without anyone noticing?
I think people, when I talk to people around me, they're in complete denial. He didn't come out of nowhere. He started with the Liberal Party, and he started his own party in the early 2000s. And he's been steadily working it for the past 17 years now. And he did not come out of nowhere, but he's just refused to talk to the mainstream media because he says they're untrustworthy. By the way, I don't support his message at all. And I think he's a very dangerous and scary character. But when he's saying the media doesn't take our message seriously, we can't trust them, we're not even going to do interviews with them, that resonates with people because people see that the news is not giving them the complete story. So I think that's how he's slowly grown in popularity, and other parties and mainstream media are in complete denial on a couple of topics, including economics. So they're looking for the one person that is talking about that.
So let's actually return to that because, you know, like Trump, Geert Wilders has been kind of covered as a freak show. The freak show stuff of him and the racist stuff he says gets a lot of media attention, and that all that media attention brings people's curiosity out, and they examine the guy, they look at his platform, and they see all these economic issues. But how do you put that into the context of also the rise of the Pirate Party or the rise of Syriza or the rise of Podemos, all of the left-wing side of this who are addressing the economic issues? What are the larger economic issues, especially across Europe? Because Europe has an extra layer of bureaucracy that the United States, for example, doesn't ever have. And yet we've still seen the rise of Trump.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't even realize what's going on. They just feel it in their pockets, and they're just seeing layoffs. Actually, a couple of really big franchises in the Netherlands were screwed over by American investment companies. And there was like one or two reports on that. But for the main part, it was kept quiet. And then as well, last time we talked about the war on cash, which is still ramping up. That's going faster and faster. And of course, they can't do that at the moment when people are concerned about economics. So at the same time, the message is being propagated that everything's fine and economics are great.
Yeah, I guess to put this all into context, you mentioned that Wilders has been building momentum for 15, 16 years. I guess this all goes back to the murder of, if I get this right, Theo van Gogh. Is that kind of set in motion this entire period?
Well, him, but even worse, actually, before that, there was Pim Fortuyn, who was a politician who was leading in the polls, and he was about to become prime minister before he got shot. This was in the early 2000s. And of course, that delayed his message of the problems that immigration brings with it. But at the time, he also warned, if you don't take my message seriously now, later on, it's going to get more extremist. And at the time, his message was interpreted as very right-wing and very extreme. And if you actually take the literal text that he wrote, it doesn't compare whatsoever to what Geert Wilders is saying now. Actually, one of the things that Geert Wilders is being attacked for is the fact that he says that we should have less Moroccans. He's not even saying less criminal Moroccans. He's just saying less Moroccans. Well, we have a large Moroccan population who's been born here. Some of them are third generation Moroccans. What are you going to do? What does he mean exactly? And that is something that he got fined by a judge for that speech.
It's Double Down with Max and Stacey.
Oh yeah, it's a new show on Sputnik Radio.
So that brings us back to, I think a lot of people, you know, the headline news is saying markets, the Dow is hitting 20,000 all-time highs, that the markets and the property markets are hitting all-time highs in London and all these major cities like Hong Kong and Singapore and Los Angeles and New York, where all the people who welcome globalization, it's done very well for them, this concentration of wealth and this small group of, you know, percentage of the population. But part of the problem of the same sort of beltway journalism, mainstream media, you're saying, is that they're not looking at the actual consequences to the majority of the population who in the United States live in the Rust Belt. In the Netherlands, I guess they live out near a windmill out in the countryside. And when you take the train across there, it looks quite beautiful. But those people are, you know, perhaps they just want to enjoy their way of life, which is living out in the countryside and not joining the rat race in Singapore or Hong Kong and living in New York and Los Angeles and having several houses around the world.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I live in Amsterdam and I've just seen it turn into a complete elitist enclave for the past couple of years. And sure, if you have money and you're investing in some properties, yeah, your life is great. Not a problem. And I do think that a big reason for the housing market to explode in big cities like London, Amsterdam, etc. right now is exactly because people who are informed are investing in property right now.
All right. Well, that's it for this episode of Double Down with me, Max Kaiser, and Stacey Herbert on Sputnik Radio. Thanks to our guest, Ancela van der Leest. Until next week. Bye, y'all.